copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
I want to talk to you today like a grandfather, a father, an older brother, perhaps, because I don't think any man in the room is 71. And if you are, you can raise your hand if you're older than that. And, but I want to tell you, I love having lived almost 26,000 days. That's a long time for my family. My father died at 49. Most in his family died very young. I didn't know my grandparents well. They died when I was very young. So I marvel at this thing called old age. I don't necessarily have all the gray hair that I could have at 71, but I enjoy that I have gray hair. Because unlike some of you, I have hair. I'm so grateful to be old. And I love the old man's psalm. Would you turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to Psalm 90? And the version that you use most often. Excuse me. Now, but Psalm 90 was written around the time that Moses was 80 years old. In other words, he had lived about 30,000 days, 4,000 more than myself. And so I love thinking about what it means to not only be old, but to have looked over a timeline of one's life and learn once again how to live life unum deum ad tempus, one day at a time. Maybe you have half the days on earth that I have. You still live them the same way I do. Male or female, young or old, we live them one day at a time. And so in Psalm 90, verse 2, Moses writes, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. For 1,000 years, verse 4, in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You know, tempus fugit. You know, time flies. And in verse 10, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or of due to strength, 80 years. And of course, that ever popular verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. And before we look back at verse 12, jump down to verse 14. I love this. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness that we may sing for joy and be glad. Watch this now, everybody. All our days. Teach us to number our days, verse 12. What does that mean? Does that mean to count the days? You know, 26,001, 26,002. Do we start marking down? Because I don't know the day of my death. In fact, I don't even know the actual day of my birth. We suspect it's one of 2 days. But is it talking about numbering our days that way? Or is he saying make the most of every day that we have? Do you remember when Moses was standing on the mountain and he was laying out what we call the Deuteronomist, the second law before the children of Israel went into the promised land? And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15, God is speaking through Moses and he says, see, I have set before you today, today, everybody say today, life and prosperity and death and adversity. See, it's almost as if, as we look at our Bible, today is not a noun, but a verb. It's an action verb. So that one can say of themselves, I want a today well, because I don't know if I have a tomorrow to do well. I know I had a yesterday, but a couple of days from now, tomorrow will be yesterday. So he says, I've set these before you one day at a time. Unum diem ad tempus, one day at a time, life and prosperity on the one hand, or death and adversity on the other. And of course, we all know Joshua 24:15 when he says, choose for yourself today whom you will serve. Not tomorrow, today. You may not have chosen yesterday or the day before or a series of days before, and you won't know what you're going to do a few days from now. You're just going to have today, whom we will serve. Choose. And then he said, as for me and my house, you know the rest. We will serve the Lord. So that in essence, what I've seen over these decades that I've been given is that life is the sum total of the choices that I've made every day. I love what one man said. He said, and it's on your outline there, yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today's the only cash you have, so spend it wisely. That's sound advice from this old man. But I want to get really practical. I want to talk about how we live life one day at a time. Many years ago, I developed for myself a layout of how I wanted to do a day. In fact, I recently wrote a book on this. Instead of sitting around during COVID, I wrote a book called Have a Great Day. I want to share with you just basically this outline. And of course, it's in English, this acrostic, but it starts with spelling out the word great. Greet the day with praise. R, report to the day with purpose, that I'm a child of God, I'm a soldier of the cross. Engage the day with a plan. You don't shoot first and draw the circle later and say bullseye. You need a plan. God may interrupt that plan because the plans are man's and the odds are God's, but you still need to plan a day out. And then analyze the day with perspective. You got to look over the hours that God gave us and analyze. What did I do right? What did I do wrong? What can I do better tomorrow if God gives me a tomorrow? And lastly, terminate the day with prayer. Why? Because in the Hebrew mindset, the day begins at night. Evening and morning, the first day. So when you see the evening prayers of Elijah and Nehemiah and others, when they pray at night, they're praying for the day, which it would suggest quickly that the day always begins with shalom, with rest, and with peace. In other words, you pray at night, then you sleep, then you get up and do the day God gives you, if he gives you that day. So what I want to do with the remainder of our time is just talk about what it means to greet the day with praise. Why? Well, let me ask it this way. You got to be honest with me, okay? Because we're family. We're blood. You ready? How many of you are not morning people? Raise your hands. I mean, you're rather grumpy. It takes you an hour or two just to get awake. How many of you are morning people? You raise your hands. How many of you are not going to raise your hand no matter what I ask in this session, just so I know where you're at there? You're just not going to expose yourself, so to speak. I mean, some people's attitude is good morning, Lord. They're like Tigger, you know, in the Winnie the Pooh series, you know, bouncy, bouncy. But then there's other of us that say, good Lord, it's morning. And they're like Eeyore in the Winnie the Pooh series, you know, they just, oh, another day. Good Lord, it's morning. But our morning people and our not so morning people all need to develop a pattern, no matter when they get up, to greet the day with praise. You know, Psalms 96, verse 4, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Can we do that just together right now, everybody? Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. That is not just a theological moniker. That's just not some cliche. That's what we mean by have a great day. That great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I write it down, Psalm 108, verse 2. He says, I will awaken the dawn. Now, what does that mean? It means exactly what it says. So I forced myself to become an early riser. I wasn't a natural early riser because I found that if I didn't do that, the day got ahead of me. That I made every intention to have my time with the Lord at night, and it didn't work because I'd hit the pillow exhausted. So I decided to develop a pattern of getting up. And you know, I do a lot of work in Europe. So you guys are up before I am by 8-9 hours. So sometimes I have to get up at 4 or 5 in the morning just to anticipate the emails and calls that I'm going to get from Europe. But we all know Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But perhaps you've not really looked at the Hebrew text, because the words are so graphic. Remember that the Hebrew language is very oriental. It's very picturesque. So that words mean almost, it takes a paragraph and takes some 15 to 20 words to explain most of the words in the Hebrew text. And we translate it in one. So you see that word rejoice, the Hebrew word gil. But here's what it means. It means shout out with joy. So he's saying, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us shout out with joy. And then he says, and be glad. And that phrase is the Hebrew word samach. And the word samach is the word for cheering. It's the word that when in Psalm 133, when they're shouting out, hinamatov umanaim, behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's a shout out to the unity that we have. And so he's saying, I want you to stand up and cheer the day. And that's not easy. I admit it. You have to admit it too. But it is absolutely necessary for us to unfold the day the way God would have us do it. Psalm 92, 1 and 2, it says, it is good to declare your loving kindness in the morning. So what's the problem? What gets in the way of me praising God in the morning? The answer is me. Me. Draw a circle on the ground, stand inside it. It's me. And especially, it's our need to control the day. I'm going to talk about joy stealers in a moment. But we wake up most often with our list of things to do. And I'm a list person. And here's how you know you're a list person. I make a list, and then I have a second list that ties into the first list, and then when I do something that was not on the list, I add it to the list, and then I check it off. Anybody a real list person? Yeah, you. There's a support group somewhere in the world for us list people, because we're a little bit, I would say neurotic about it, but I've got to have lists. But sometimes that list is me controlling my day. This is what I'm going to do today. And God says, wait a minute, there is a God and you're not him. I created the world with 24 hours that I made for you, that I gave to you. So there's a point to where I have to say, and I don't know about you, but I have to say, Lord, I choose today to resign as general manager of the universe. Lord God Almighty, this is going to be a great day because it's a day you made, not that I made. I resign as general manager of the universe. And for me, that's a profound prayer because I can tend to be a controller. So how do you develop then a heart of praise? We have had, as I said earlier, 23 foster children. Many of them come out of abused homes. Horrific situations, from physical, emotional, to even sexual abuse. And teaching those little ones how to be men and women, young men and women and children of praise was a real challenge. So I developed, Karen and I did a thing that we do at the table. It's called alphabetical worship. I'll do this in English, but what I would do is I'd sit around the table and I would say to my children, including the foster children, tell me something you love about God that begins with the letter A and B and C. And it's always fun to get to the letter X. In English, not many words. No, thank you, God, for xylophones. But one young woman at a communion service, I love what she said. She stood up before a crowd of 600 and she said, thank you, God, for your x-ray vision in my life. Isn't that good? And then there was sitting next to her a football player, a big guy with a big Letterman jacket on, and he said, "Thank you, God, that you're excellent." You know, his spelling was wrong, but his heart was right. You know, alphabetical praise. I remember one of our little boys who had been so physically abused. We got him from the hospital. And we're holding that little guy. He's only 7, 8 years old, sitting at my table. And I said, "Jose, tell me something you love about Jesus that begins with the letter A." And he couldn't do it. We got to the letter B and he went, you can just picture this little guy. Baseballs. And heaven rang with the praises of a little boy whose first public prayer was praising God for baseballs. And he made us cry. You greet the day with praise. Driving down the street, "God, thank you that you're almighty. Thank you that you've been so good to me. Thank you for caring. Thank you that divine, that you're everlasting, that you're my friend, that you're so good." And whatever your language alphabet is, do it in your own language, but just make sure it's not about the alphabet. Maybe you want to go through countries. As I said on my cup here, I pray through countries starting with the letter A, B, C. There's none with the letter X, at least at the beginning. But I'll tell you what, thank you, God, for what you're doing. I have a globe. I'll show it to you. And every morning, if I don't do my cup, I'll point to a continent and I'll pray for that continent. I don't care how you do it. We need not mnemonic devices for memory. We need praise devices. Not that they become rote and meaningless, but so they stir our hearts in praise. Why did God give you eyes to see, ears to hear? Go out someday and just do the color green. Look at all the shades of green. You know, we have a blind ministry in our church, and I do a lot of star talks and so forth. And I had one of our blind people come and say, "Pastor, show me the stars." I said, "Honey, how can I do that?" I took her finger and I'm pointing to the constellations, you know, and she's praising God with me. I'm weeping and she's saying, "Someday I'll see those stars from the other side." A life of praise. Psalm 139:18 says, "When I'm awake, I am with you." I love that. God, when I'm awake, I'm with you. I'm conscious of you. You know, what is that? That's praying without ceasing. The First Thessalonians talks about. I'm with you today, God. Psalm 119, verse 164 says, 7 times a day, I praise you. Honey, will you bring me my phone for just a minute, please? I'll show you what I did. Oh, that's all right. If you have a phone, why not set your alarm for 7 times a day? Why not set it at 8 a.m., 10 a.m., 12 p.m., 2, 4, 6, 8 p.m.? 7 times a day. And for 30 seconds, the alarm goes off and you're just going to praise God for something, even when you don't want to. 7 times a day. I had to learn how to do that. I praise God in the morning, praise God at night, and sometimes I just forgot him during the day. Remember that? Love him in the morning when you see the sun arising. Love him in the evening because he took you through the day. And in the in-between time, when you feel the pressure coming, know that he loves you and he promises to stay. An old song from the 70s. So 7 times a day, I praise you. Here's the problem. Anybody with me? You guys with me? Okay. Here's the problem. The things that stifle our daily prayers. I call them the joy stealers. And this is where we got to get honest. And you know what? We in ministry, we are so prone to fake it. We're so prone to ask people to do what we're not doing. It's time to be honest. The longest journey in the world is 18 inches, half a meter. From your head to your heart. And that's where it's got to be. Search me, O God, you know it. And know my heart. And try me and know, watch this, my anxious thoughts. And so, write down Psalm 94, verse 19, when the psalmist says, my anxious thoughts multiply within. That's ministry in a nutshell, isn't it? My anxiety multiplies. I wrote in my book a poem. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't have time to pray. Troubles just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He asked, you didn't ask. He answered, you didn't ask. Sometimes I wake up in a morning so filled with anxiety. The list that wasn't accomplished the day before, the people that frustrated, the circumstances that overwhelmed. So let's talk about the joy stealers. I just listed three. We could have a whole discussion on a plethora of things that steal our praise. Joy stealer number one is I don't have enough time to do all that I need to do. And here's what happens when we say I don't have enough time. People send us Luther's quote. When Luther said, I have so much to do today, I'll spend the first 3 hours praying. That either encourages you or intimidates you. And most of us, it intimidates. But we forget that he had time on horseback. It took him hours to get to the next town. He didn't have a cell phone bugging him all the time. He didn't have the internet. He didn't have texts that required a response immediately. I'm not putting that thought down. I've got so much to do today, I need to pray. And maybe some of you are prone to get up 3 hours early and just pray. I just tell you right now, I've been doing ministry for 45 years, and I can't count on more than one hand the times that I've gone up that early just for a time of prayer. I mean, you know Psalm 46, verse 10, to be still, to Rapha, but and to know that I'm God. But here's what the Hebrew imagery is. And I wish I could kind of show you. There's a couch behind me. If I were to sit below the camera and just sink into the chair and say, ah, that's the Hebrew imagery. Rapha. It means to sink. You know, and maybe you have an easy chair. And if you don't get one, a place where you just sink in, a place where you go, maybe it's your bed. All right, I have a hard time praying in bed because I'll fall asleep, but maybe it is. But sink in. And then he says, and know, and the Hebrew word is yada. It means to know him intimately. Sink in. Wherever that place is, maybe it's walking in the park. Maybe it's walking your dog. Maybe it's listening to music. Be still, quiet down, and sink down and know intimately that he is our God. Oh. Tell me, you say, well, I need more time. But let me remind you that when God placed the world at 23 and a half degrees on an axis and spins at 1,000 miles an hour, and he said, it is good. So if God created the world with 24 hours, how dare us say I need more time to do what God wants me to do? I just need more time to do what I want to do and others want me to do, but I have all the time I need to do what God wants me to do today. Now, that doesn't fit into our Western culture. That doesn't fit into our modern thinking. Evening and morning, the first day. Evening and morning, the second day. 24 hours, and God is not going to change it for me or you. We have enough. Joy stealer number two, he says, I'm still carrying over frustrations and hurts from yesterday. Oh, we all know Ephesians 4, verse 26 and 27, to not let the sun set on our anger that comes in lots of different ways and manifestations. But let's be honest. We do go to bed angry. we do go to bed frustrated at either circumstances or people. There's an old poem, "Oh, to be with all the saints in heaven, that will be glory. But to live with all the saints on earth, that's another story." I've been pastoring for 45 years. I'm also the president of Jaren Ministries. We have 80 missionaries, and I'd love to tell you that they're always wonderful. I always tell you that my people are always perfect. I would love to tell you that my board is always easy. I'd love to tell you that my staff is always absolutely incredible. I'd love to tell you that. I'd be lying straight at you. And you know it, and I know it. But the Bible says in Romans 12, remember what Paul said in verse 18, be at peace with all men when it is in your power to do it. There are times when I can't fix things. Romans 14, 19 says, though, but then pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. I wrote a book on anger, and some of you have that in your language and so forth, but it deals with all of the costly memories and all the one another verses that help to resolve that. So I would encourage you to take all the one another verses, lay them out to love one another, pray for one another, be at peace with one another. Don't bite and devour one another. Guard one another, and on. But don't store up those costly emotional memories. In fact, if you go to focalonline.org, a number of my messages on this particular subject are there for your use and help. And if you need our help, we're here for you. I'm not suggesting we're experts on all this, but we've walked this road, and we'll walk it with you. Joyce Taylor, number three, is that this is going to be a horrible day. You wake up in the morning and you just go, man, this is going to be one horrific day filled with anxiety and fear. In other words, and it ruins our day even before we start it, even before this day unfolds. You get up at 6 a.m. and you're already, your stomach is churning and the cereal that you eat, you know, turns into mush, and on it goes. And we have to come before God with honesty. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, when God says, I have set before you today life and prosperity, but I've also set before you death and adversity. Make your choice. And there is a death that goes on in our hearts emotionally when we approach the day, looking and grieving even in advance of anything happening. Proverbs, I think it's verse chapter 25, says, what the wicked man fears will come upon him. And that's why I love Psalm 95, verse 7. For he is our God. Just stop there. The God of the universe, creator of heaven and earth, is my God and your God. I often say to people when they comment about being a relative of Capone, I say, look, I'm not responsible for my ancestors, but I can influence my descendants. That I may have his face, and I do. I may have his belly, and I do. I may have his eyebrows, and I do, but I do not have his heart. He is my God. Psalm 95, and we are the sheep of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And look at it. Today, if you would hear his voice, today, if we're not listening to God's voice on a daily basis, what do we expect? This isn't about a verse a day keeps the devil away. This isn't about some legalistic, you got to have your morning devotions. This is about engaging. You know, it's about, you know, the same way that you tell your spouse you love them regularly, your children, you love them regularly. It's not like the one spouse that said, I told my wife I loved her 20 years ago, and if it ever changes, I'll let her know. Listen, daily, we need to hear his voice, but he needs to hear ours. Not because of legalism, but because of relationship. He is our God. And we're the sheep of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And today, maybe I didn't do it yesterday, and I don't know what I'll do tomorrow, but today you can hear my voice as I hear yours. Nehemiah said it this way, and I mean, the very first verse, in the very first chapter, Nehemiah 1:1, O Lord, I beseech thee, May thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant who delight to revere thy name. And then he says, and make thy servant successful today. Today. Don't worry about tomorrow, Jesus said. Today's got enough trouble of its own. I want to be successful today. I'm going to do it unum diem ad tempus, one day at a time. Genesis 24, 12, O Lord, the God of my master, Abraham, please grant me success today. Exodus 32, 29, dedicate yourselves today to the Lord in order that he may bestow a blessing upon you today. We keep waiting for blessings in the future. How about one day at a time? How many of you, with a raising of a hand, generally have time in the Word of God for yourself? I'm not talking about studying for Sunday school. I'm talking about for yourself. How many of you have daily time in the Word for yourself? On an average of 5 to 5 days a week, at least. Would you raise your hands? Okay. What about that? Because some of us go to our Bibles and before even preparing our hearts, we get right into the Word, especially if you have to teach. We preachers, you know, if you're preaching through Philippians, you go right to the Bible most often, or sometimes we go right to the commentary. And then we espouse what others are saying about the Bible instead of what we're saying. But that's not how you prepare. In Psalm 19, verse 7 to 11, you know this passage about the beauty of God's Word and its impact. Luther said, whoever wants to hear God speak should read Holy Scripture for yourself. I'm going to just say this to some of you who are in pastoral ministry or teaching ministry, is that I stopped having my devotions in what I'm teaching God's people. I need time with God alone first. Because here's what was happening, David, and folks like us. It was going in my brain, out my mouth before it went to my heart. Now, maybe others of you are different. Now, what I'll do is I'll read one book of the Bible every day for 30 days. I have lots of different means of doing that and so forth. But what I began to do is to look more personally at the Lord's Prayer. And I know our time is running here, but I want you quietly right now, in your own language, to say the Lord's Prayer, just quietly. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So what I did was I made myself some reminders. And I took, because if you look at the way that the Greek text is in Matthew 6, Jesus is trying to teach them not what to pray, but how to pray. And so what I did was I took and made an acrostic out of the word prayer in English. P-R-A-Y-E-R, as a means of just preparing my heart before I even open God's word. Praising, repenting, asking, yielding, entreating, and rejoicing. I'm going to go through this very quickly so we can get to a time of Q&A. Praising, where do you find that? Our Father who art in heaven, holy, hallowed is your name. And again, going back to the alphabetical worship, God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Even before I open my Bible, repenting, Lord, I ask your forgiveness for my specific sins that get in the way of me getting the most out of my time with you in the Word. Because how many times over my 45 years that I've done my daily devotions, you know, that verse a day to keep the devil away stuff, and got nothing out of it. It went in my head and out my mouth, or maybe just in my head, but it didn't get to my heart. But a heart of repentance, Lord, deal with what's getting in the way. Thirdly, asking, right? It's a Greek word, iteo, there in John 14. If you ask anything in my name, it means to ask for yourself. Lord, I pray, but also you have the word us in there. Give us this day our daily bread. God, give me my daily bread, my time in the word, but also the others around me I pray for. And yielding. Where do we have that? We all know thy will be done. God, I want your will. As I open your word today, I want your will, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. I yield my will to you in a spirit of humility and obedience. Help me not just to read through the scriptures and not have it change me one day at a time. And in entreating, of course, is all the us's, give us and lead us. Lord, and that's why I have prayer reminders. That's why I wanted your country. I promise you that for the next 2 weeks, every single day, I'll be praying for each one of you. Because I love you. I care about you. And you're going to now be my entreating list. I'll pray for your country. I'll pray for you specifically. And if you'd like to write me with some specific prayer requests, I promise you I'll do that. All right. So, Lord, I pray for and name them, your children. I have a list of all of my family members, almost 100 of them. I pray for. I pronounce the blessing, Lord, bless you and keep you and on my children, and my grandchildren, etc. And lastly, rejoicing. Or where do we have that in the Lord's Prayer? Well, sometimes people debate whether that's in the text or not, but let's go ahead and keep it there. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Lord, I thank you in advance for what you're going to accomplish, because yours is the kingdom and yours is the power and yours is the glory. So putting this all together, it's, you know, I'm almost hesitant to teach this. You know, because my propensity is to go to all the Greek text and the Hebrew text and throw in a few Aramaic words to impress you. I don't want to do that today. I just want to go heart to heart and head to head with you. And you know, and to do that, because tempus fugit, time does fly. And I want to live my life one day at a time. Right? C.T. Studd said it so well when he said, only one life till soon be passed. You know the rest. Only what's done for Christ will last. So I'm simply saying to us, Lord, help us to today well. You'll take care of tomorrow and the rest of my days. And if you give me as many days as Moses, I will praise you. But if you don't, I'll praise you nonetheless. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, simple message for all of us. We've heard it before, and we respond to what the ancient philosopher Seneca said, that a thing is not too often repeated, which is not sufficiently learned. Lord, keep teaching us to greet the day with praise. Even before we report to the day with purpose and lay out our plans, even before we get into our things to do, help our primary thing to do is to praise you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God's people said, amen.